BBC Radio Cambridgeshire.
Right, welcome to the third and final hour of Breakfast on a Saturday morning, 23rd of April 2016. Twas this day, 400 years ago, that William Shakespeare passed. We will continue to celebrate his life, his works, his quotes, with two Shakespeare experts joining us on the show in the next 5 minutes. Thank you so much for all of your Shakespeare-inspired quotes that are coming in to us today. Raj and Sam, good morning to you. Patience is a virtue. Possess it while you can, says Raj. Another one here. There's no such thing as a problem. It's just an inconvenience to your time scale. Very good. You are inspired by the bard today. Thank you very much indeed. As we've mentioned, we will be catching up with two Shakespeare experts on the show in the next 5 minutes. Andrew Muir and Professor Roland Weimer talk to us about William Shakespeare. As we've mentioned already, it's 400 years ago today that Mr. Shakespeare died. What's it all about? Is it William Shakespeare? Is he worth all this praise and this, you know, this worshipping that we give the man? But I have to say, I never really knew an awful lot about him, but I did a lot of research last night, and I've got to say, I love the man. I think some of his quotes are fantastic, so ahead of his time, so intelligent as well. So more about William Shakespeare on the show in the next 5 or 10 minutes. Keep your Shakespeare-inspired quotes coming in as well. 03459 25 2000 or 813 Day today, by the way. If you're going to a St. George's Day event today, hopefully the weather will kind of hold out for you. It's beautiful blue skies driving into Cambridge today. It's been beautiful for the first 2 hours of the show, and sadly the cloud is here. A little bit of rain forecast for today. It's going to be a bit of a mixed day today, some rain and some showers. And if you are going to the St. George's Day Fair in March tomorrow, then as you heard from Rob Scording, it should be a great day. So it's the 400th anniversary of the death of William Shakespeare today. Events are taking place across the country and the county to celebrate his works. Now, did you know it's thought that Mr. Shakespeare visited Cambridge during his lifetime and performed here too? And Andrew Muir joins us. He's the author of Shakespeare in Cambridge. And also here is Professor Roland Weimer, who's a professor of English at Anglia Ruskin University. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning to you. So
he came to Cambridge, Andrew. He must have come to Cambridge.
Well, you want me to say yes, especially on this day.
But it's inconceivable that he didn't, surely.
There's a good probability that he did. You're not going to push me further than that.
So we haven't got a confirmation. There isn't a hotel booking in his name.
There isn't a hotel booking, no.
We know definitely he performed at Oxford. Yes. It was actually at Oxford.
Yes.
Yep. And so it seems pretty likely that as they went on tour all around the country.
Yeah, it's just when you're saying inconceivable pushed me too far. But yeah, the argument at the beginning of my book is that, and it's hopeful, of course, we don't know for sure.
So there's no actual proof, evidence.
Hamlet was performed, as the professor says, Hamlet was performed in both Oxford and Cambridge. We know that because there was an edition that came out in Shakespeare's time which said, as recently performed in our university towns. Uh-huh. Now, at that point, the point it probably was performed in Cambridge, the theatres in London were closed due to the plague. And Shakespeare's company performed it in Cambridge and Oxford. Now, the chances are he was with them. He was an actor as well as the major writer, and he presumably did directing on the hoof, as it were. So the chances are. And about that time, there were Cambridge students writing very angrily about Shakespeare, very jealously.
Oh, right. Why is this then?
Well, they saw themselves as better educated.
Exactly.
Was there a lot of jealousy that surrounded Shakespeare then from other people, from his contemporaries and things?
There was at the beginning of his career, and throughout his life, I think Ben Jonson was extremely envious of him, really. But to be fair to Jonson, after Shakespeare died, he did write a very good tribute to him.
I'm glad you brought up Ben Jonson. Correct me if this is correct or not. He died on this day, 1616, aged 52. Is it true that he died after falling ill after a night of heavy drinking with fellow playwright Ben Jonson?
That is the rumour, yes, but we've no proof of that. But that was a tradition that circulated in the.
What proof do we have of things? I mean, obviously we've got proof that he wrote these amazing plays, but you know, did he come to Cambridge? We're not sure. Did he die after a night of drinking? How much do we specifically know about him and his life? I mean, obviously, he married aged 18 to Anne Hathaway, who was 8 years older than him.
That's right. That was very unusual for the period, as it is now, actually.
So he was a bit of a geezer. He was a bit of a dude, wasn't he?
Well, she was pregnant at the time, so they had a very good reason to get married.
Uh-huh. Did they try and keep that quiet? I wonder. I should think back in those days, it was you know, quite a scandal.
Well, there comes a point when you can't keep the pregnancy quiet.
No, but, yeah.
which is
Yes. No, yeah. I've just eaten one too many pies, darling.
If you look at the marriages and birth registers, it's perhaps more common than you're thinking.
Uh-huh. Listen, we're going to do the travel and then we're going to get back to why we are still fascinated by William Shakespeare and just how good he was. We're joined this morning on the show celebrating and commemorating the fact that it's 400 years since William Shakespeare died. More from Professor Weimer and Andrew Muir, the author of Shakespeare in Cambridge, after the travel.
BBC Radio Cambridge, Cherry Hill Backstage, Cathedral Square.
Market 17, it's 400 years. It's the anniversary of the death of William Shakespeare. Andrew Muir joins us, the author of Shakespeare in Cambridge, although there's no definitive proof that he did indeed come to Cambridge. But let's assume he did.
Let's say he did.
And he must have done. He surely must have done. And also Professor Weimer from Professor of English at Anglia Ruskin University. Now, Professor, answer me this question or not. Some people suggested that he was in fact a bit of a fraud and a front for other authors who wish to conceal their identity. True or false?
No, this is complete nonsense, basically. No reputable Shakespeare scholar has ever supported this theory that Shakespeare wasn't Shakespeare. What is interesting is that he did actually collaborate both at the beginning and the end of his career, and the extent of that collaboration is still being investigated. You know, for instance, that Middleton wrote about a third of Macbeth, for instance, possibly. Mm-hmm. A third of of Timon of Athens, and contributed to Macbeth. There's a whole argument about this.
Yes, and it was very normal at the time, collaborations. In fact, Shakespeare collaborated less than all of his, or fewer times than all of his contemporaries, really. It was mainly at the beginning and end of his career he did. But there's a lot of stylistic analysis done of the plays, and grammar changed at the time. Shakespeare would say, for example, "I did walk" for the past tense, where Middleton would say, "I walked," because it was actually changing then. So if you look at the scenes of the plays the professor's talking about, you can actually always see that difference. Again, it's not definitive, but it gives you a good clue. I agree with this complete nonsense about the front. But one of the strange things about conspiracy theories is that when you get them, and see, some of our greatest living actors today believe in this nonsense, great actors though they are, they always look at the evidence that might help their case.
Right. You know,
and it's a tiny little molehill of possible evidence.
Yeah.
And they ignore the absolute...
Just a mountain of evidence the other way. Yes.
Exactly. So we're in total agreement here.
Yeah. How was he viewed in his time? Was he, you know, a celebrity of his time? Did people really appreciate, you know, the quality of the man? Was he a celebrity back in the 1600s?
He gradually became pretty well known. I mean, at the beginning of his career, it wasn't very usual to put the names of dramatists on the copies of their plays. It was the company that was important rather than the dramatist. But by 1598, they were starting to put Shakespeare's name on the copies of his plays that were printed as a selling feature. Mm-hmm. You know, basically, he was known to be good, you know, by mid-career. And he actually then became, he worked for James I as one of the king's men. So he actually became quite well known, I think.
Why is there, 400 years after he died, why is there still this huge fascination and respect for William Shakespeare? I mean, he was a great playwright. I mean, he influenced the English language like no other playwright. Why is there still this huge fascination? Was he that good?
I think he was that good, and still is that good. In fact, I can say this one. I can say I know he was that good. I think the fascination rests on two or three things. One is he's become a bit of a cultural monolith, and I think this is to his disservice. I mean, I do think he was the greatest writer there's ever been. But over and above that, first and foremost, he was a popular entertainer. It was the pop music of his day, since we're in this studio. Mm-hmm. Hits came and went very quickly. So we're just mentioning there, 1590s, he built up his fame. His biggest hit of the time was actually a gore fest. It was a very brutal play, not the ones we think of as the classics. But then fashions changed, and he had to change and write. So, to get back to your question, I think because things changed so quickly, it was a very new media. Things changed quickly, so he wrote about all aspects of human life, and he wrote about them, and you can study them as great literature, or you can go along to the plays and have a great time, because Shakespeare was also about fun. Mm. You know, people sit him for exams and it ruins him for life. It's really enjoyable to go and see a play. Go to Cambridge
I'm not going to sit here and say, oh yeah, I know everything about Shakespeare and studied it at school. I didn't, but I was looking last night about it, reading about him, some of his play, The Choir. I mean, I really got engrossed in it and just really got sucked in. It's amazing. Absolutely.
What I'd quite like to say is that when I was at school, all the emphasis was on his language, on the poetry, the eloquence, which obviously is brilliant. But he was actually an extremely good storyteller. He actually was really good at telling stories. If you look at the prose fiction of the same period, they can't tell a story for Toffee. They simply cannot tell a compelling narrative. Whereas Shakespeare's and his contemporaries in the theatre learnt how to tell really good stories.
Wait, was he better at his comedies or his tragedies?
They're both brilliant. And he wouldn't have seen the split. This is many of the things we talk about, you know, things to do with gender and sex and politics, we look at backwards from our own point of view. The comedy-tragedy split would never have occurred to Shakespeare. He was a playwright.
Right.
So at the same time he was writing, you may have to correct me here, but I think it was Hamlet. At the same time he was writing Hamlet, he was like writing Twelfth Night. So one of his, well, possibly his best tragedy, though not as good as King Lear, but never mind. One of his very, very best, and then possibly his best comedy at the same time. It's quite possible he was actually writing different bits of them on the same day. Ah. He wouldn't have seen it as a split.
And you mentioned the comedies or the tragedies, but I'm extremely fond of the histories. And
well, of course, there's the histories as well.
In the Guardian yesterday, Michael Billington argued that it's the histories which may speak most to us now compared with the comedies and tragedies in their analysis of power and how it's gained.
Richard III. And, yeah.
Professor, what's the best thing, in your opinion, in your view, that he wrote?
Well, it'd be boring if I said Hamlet, which I probably would. But what I would like to say is that he never wrote a bad play, and that a play which was despised for decades or centuries, Titus Andronicus, I've seen it in the theatre. It's absolutely brilliant in the theatre. Uh-huh. You know, so he never wrote a bad play.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. I actually ignored that play. Well, not ignored completely, but I didn't really pay much attention to it until recently, and it was performed at the Globe, and people were fainting and carried out of the audience. It was quite a scandal.
I saw five people faint near me in the audience.
Incredible.
It is incredibly gory. So it's if you're any gore freaks out there, you can go and see it.
Listen, we're going to have to wrap things up. I've got a load of quotes that are from him. And again, okay. I've been reading them out all morning. How should I say some of these quotes? I mean, this is my favourite one because my wife is always late for everything. Better 3 hours too soon than a minute too late. How would that have been delivered in his time?
Well, you'd have to put on something like that sound like a West Country accent, I think. The actual question of pronunciation in Shakespeare's day is quite complicated, but they actually sounded a bit more West Country than we think of as, you know.
I'm not even going to begin.
You'd really have to, put your R's, I'm not being Scottish but you'd have to put your R's in, because the R's were very strong then, which changes your vowel. So it's a complicated thing. It was at the end of what's known as a pronunciation shift, but you could give it a go. Try a mixture of Rabsy Nesbitt and a West Country accent.
No, I'll end up making a fool of myself or getting in trouble. Do you have a favourite Shakespeare quote?
There's too many.
Professor, favourite one, or again, too many. Just there's just so much.
How about never, 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 when Cordelia is dead, basically, she will never come back again. Never.
And we'll leave it there. Listen, gentlemen, thank you so much indeed.
Thank you very much.
Andrew Muir, thank you for coming in. Also, Professor Roland Wymer, thank you for coming in as well. 400 years ago today, we lost the great bard, William Shakespeare. Aged 52, supposedly after a night of heavy drinking with Ben Johnson. But there's no proof of that. We'll just have to... That's a good story. I think we'll kind of leave it there. It's 8:25. Are you...